Welcome to Building Better Businesses, an ABA podcast. Learn firsthand from business owners who built successful ABA businesses. Utilize proven techniques and strategies to help your practice thrive. This is Building Better Businesses in ABA podcast with Jonathan Mueller.
Jo is a BCBA and has spent 30 years in the autism services field. She's currently president of Core Action Consulting that helps business owners achieve their dreams. For 19 years, she was the founder, owner, and CEO of Interventions Unlimited, an ABA therapy company, and Alpine Academy, an ABA school for children with autism. Jing has won multiple business awards. In 2014, the U.S. Small Business Administration, State of Florida, Women-Owned Small Business Person of the Year, the Asian Entrepreneur of the Year Award, also in 2014, and in 2016, Grow Florida Companies to Watch winner. Welcome to the pod, Jing.
Thank you, Jonathan, for having me on the podcast. And I want to thank you for creating this podcast to support the provider community. So many of the entrepreneurs in our field really need the help in growing their business to support the life-changing services they provide to the kids and their families, whose lives can be so different because of the quality ABA services they receive. So we're in this together.
Ahmed, it takes a village, Jake. Well, thank you for that feedback.
Absolutely.
And let's dive right in. I know that you've written that the success of all ABA companies relies on six core actionable components. So people, purpose, playbook, clinical quality, process, and organizational performance. So for an ABA small business owner or anyone listening to the podcast trying to do it like a million things at one time, which one of those things would you encourage them to start with and why?
And that's a great question. As you said, the entrepreneurs are super busy. They have a million big things and little things to worry about, as well as a million problems waiting for them to solve. And however, unfortunately, we don't get an award for being the busiest person. I wish there was a busiest person award. And our success is not measured by being busy. So we only accomplish what we set out to do by being focused and intentional with our time and effort. Instead of working in our business, we have to work on the business. So we have to focus on the core components of our business that really drive the business forward. Out of the six components I mentioned, if I have to pick one to start off with, I would say to start with the purpose component, followed by the people component, because they're really related. And I would say the purpose, so many people will say, oh, we have purpose, we have mission statement. And what I'm talking about is not just nice words on paper that they look catchy, and they have to be genuine and authentic and true to your organization. And the business identity is more about who you are, why you exist, what you stand for, where you want to go, and how you're going to get there, than the service you actually provide or the product that you make. So having those inspiring and motivating purpose can really guide your business journey and set the tone for your company culture, as well as attract the right people who share the same core values to join your team. So under the core purpose component, so we have the vision statement, purpose statement, as well as your core values. And in my previous business, we had a set of core values that we hire people and unhire people based on those core values. Mm-hmm. We would give WOW certificates for exhibiting core value, for demonstrating core value behaviors. And all of our staff members were able to say what those core values are. And that really points people in the same direction. And connecting employees with the company's core values can really bring meaning to their work. And that is very important. People get busy, and if they don't see why they're doing the work they're doing, and it becomes meaningless. and it may become very stressful in our field. And recently, I saw a post on LinkedIn by Simon Sinek. It says, working hard for something you don't believe in, it's called stress. But working for something that you love, it's called passion. So connecting purpose with their work brings passion to their work. So that's where I would say the first place to start.
And this is something that's really critically important to me, because a lot of organizations think, oh, I'm going to slap a vision or mission, some core values, and then great. And, you know, maybe I'll talk about them at the next company retreat. But as you point out, they have to be authentic, because they need to be repeated over and over again. There needs to be storytelling, right? There needs to be, they need to be referenced in ongoing communications. They have to be reinforced, right, as part of your performance management system. I mean, this truly is sort of like a part of your organizational DNA. And without that authenticity, you can't get it right. Is that right?
Exactly. It's something you really live and breathe every day in your organization. It has to be something that's still relevant a very long time down the road. And that something guides you to kind of also decide what you don't do, what you do and what you don't do. And is this something that is shiny product? It's just a shiny object, or is that something that really fits the purpose of your organization?
You know what, Jing? I find that that's my biggest struggle. Like, it's not the stuff that I choose to do. I have to be super intentional about all those things that I actively make a decision not to do, because that's the stuff that might end up for my ADD brain, right? And the million and one things I think I have to do. That's important for me. But you use a term I loved that was, you unhire people for values. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Well, I don't take credit for that. I heard that from another podcast. I can't remember the name of the person to give credit to. And he talked about the company culture that they hire and unhire. I thought that was great. I don't like the term fire, because there is always a good place for everyone that is the right fit for them. If someone is not a good fit for your organization, just because they don't share the same values, they could be a good fit somewhere else. So it's a separation so they can find the right fit for them. So I don't always consider that someone leaving or you have to let someone go as a negative event. You hire and unhire them.
That's such good language. That's profound. Well, Jig, you're a certified Pinnacle Business Guide, which, as I understand it, it means you help organizations implement operating systems for their business. Like, what was your life like before you implemented an operating system? And what was life like after you implemented an operating system? And maybe tell us a little bit more about what an operating system really is.
Okay, absolutely. Like many ABA companies, due to the demand for our services, my company grew fairly quickly. Then we enter the black hole after we grew to about 40 employees. I felt like I had no control over my time, as everybody needed my attention, everyone needed my time, and there was always something to attack every day. Years ago, my office door was like a revolving door. My staff joked that I needed a number system in front of my door so they could take a number. Right. They were fighting to get into my office. And they said, you need a number system so we can take a number and take turns to come and ask questions. I'm not proud of that. And end of the day, I felt so drained and did not accomplish anything. When I went home, I was stressed. I was irritated. I had no patience or energy left. And my families were getting the worst end of the stick. And that made me sad. And I felt stuck, that I could not really break the ceiling to get to the next level of growth. And in my mind, I knew as a business, you either grow or die. So we have to grow. And I know I couldn't keep up with the pace I was running on. as well as like neither did I have any more time or energy to give to the growth. I knew I had to do something differently in order to grow. So I was looking into our community for resources, like what are some resources to help me do things differently? And I joined a CEO roundtable group, and that was the best thing that I did. And I implemented a business operating system along with the CEOs from various industries in the group with a mentor who was the facilitator of the roundtable group. And I was in that group for 2 years. The transformation took about a year and a half. And that was a life changing event. It was a game changer. And as a result, we were able to create clarity in many aspects of the business, and our leadership team was aligned, focusing on the goal of our core values. And we created processes, and we had a meeting structure. We created scorecards and KPIs and a system to solve problems and make decisions as a group. So I did not feel like I was the person making every decision in the organization, and people had to come to me to solve every problem in the organization. And that allowed me to focus on the bigger picture of the business so we could serve more kids with quality. So that allowed me to actually grow our school, Alpine Academy, to where we are today. And we have an amazing program. So a business operating system is really, there are several components, as I mentioned in my blog post you had asked earlier, and that allows you to focus on the core components of your business, so like your people, your purpose, your quality, as well as your process and a playbook. So you know how to tie all of these components and key functions together and able to communicate those processes and functions in your organization, as well as indicators that you focus on and the scorecards and the KPIs to measure how you're doing. As behavior analysts, we're very good at measuring the progress of the kids. And with our business, it's really the same thing. Behavior analysts have the skills that are really preparing them to be good entrepreneurs and business owners. We know how to create goals. We know how to break those down into smaller steps to form a complex skill. So we know how to analyze data and to make changes as we interpret the data. So we got to apply those into the business. So that's kind of what a business operating system is more about. It's a systematic approach instead of the constant chaos and the everything just kind of all the plates flying in the air.
That's right. I like how you describe it's a playbook, right? It's not like a specific technology, although there are technologies that can be brought to bear with an operating system, but it is a playbook for how to run the business. And I think it's to pinpoint something you described is like, this is not a silver bullet that like, oh, this week I'm like stressed. Now next week I'm going to bring in an operating system and in a month it's going to be fine. I mean, this takes intention over months, even years to get right. And as you really well pointed out, you have to be the leader that like that's willing to delegate, coach, and train others so that not every decision comes through you, which kind of takes like low ego, right? Because it feels good when you're small that everything goes right through you.
Exactly. Yeah. And it takes discipline to implement the system. And it really takes the whole team to buy into it so you can create clarity, have accountabilities in every function of your business, and people will own up to those functions.
Yeah. And as Simon's, to come back to Simon Sinek, he always says, start with the why.
Exactly. With
the why. So as you point out, the discipline of implementing means keep coming back to it and tell the why with your team. Well, Jing, I think it was a Harvard Business Review post or an article that you shared recently about positive work cultures are more productive. What was the most insightful takeaway you had from that article?
As a behavior analyst, anything that is based on research and data gets my attention. And I love what it said in that article. And we all know that work-related stress is bad for our physical and mental health and contributes to turnovers. And in our line of work, it does not just affect the employees or the bottom lines of the company, it affects the lives of the kids and the families we serve. So there are many good points in this article. My main takeaway is the findings in the study that was cited in the article that poor leadership poses a health risk at work and can affect employees' health later on in life. So I read a little bit more about the study on a different link. So I clicked on the link and said, what was this study? So it really hit the nail on the head because the leadership sets the tone of the work culture in the workplace. And the leadership behaviors, even small things leaders do, can create positive feelings and emotions or negative feelings and emotions. A lot of times leaders probably don't realize what they do, how much of an impact of what they do on the work environment in the work culture where they are. So I always wanted to kind of remind the entrepreneurs to be very mindful of the small things that you do and what messages that sends to your workplace. Either shows you care about your employees and you're treating them as individuals, as a human being, or you're just treating them as a name in your organization, company. And there are many suggestions in that article. It all comes down to how employees are being treated and whether they are being treated and given the respect as individual human beings or they're being treated as just another name in the organization. Mm-hmm. So small things that leaders can do that shows respect could be as simple as, for example, ask the employees if a deadline is reasonable for them to complete. Instead of just throwing a deadline, I want this done because I want it without a good reason for it. And by asking the employees, I know you have other work to do. Is it reasonable for this to be completed by this time? Shows respect for them. And other things, for example, with companies with multiple locations, it's fairly common for people at the management level or corporate level to go visit the centers. But communicating and coordinating the time and date with the local centers shows the respect rather than just showing up at the place. And some things are just fairly simple, but it really carries a lot of weight in the eyes of the employees.
It's so powerful, isn't it? How just subtle things, right? Like just asking, is that reasonable? But you're still given the same date. You're still asking for a deliverable, but just asking something like that can have such an impact. And what the other crazy thing I heard in that, like, so poor leadership, I mean, not only clearly results in poor experiences for team members and potential turnover, but like that can negatively impact them later in life. And so in my mind, it's like, this is the weight of responsibility of leadership. Number one, to make for that reinforcing, but also high accountability culture. And number two, to always be that coach and mentor, right? Cause you have people who want to serve the purpose and the mission of the organization, and how do you help bring out the best in them and train them and provide professional development and career pathing, everything that comes with showing that you respect your team members. That feels critical.
Exactly. And communication is one of the most important tool in the organization to make sure everyone is kept in the loop is huge. Frequently, I heard people said, oh, I only found out from hearing from Susie or Johnny, or afterwards, they felt they are not important to be communicated ahead of time, and they're left out of the loop. If there is one thing that organizations can do to create a positive work culture is to focus on their communication.
So well said. So well said. And that's communication, I think, for most leaders, it's almost like an afterthought, right? Like, hey, there's a lot of planning, strategic tactical planning I'm doing, the goals I'm setting for the business, and I'm like, And then it's like, okay, and let me communicate it out. And so like precious little time, therefore, is dedicated to communication, when communication should be like whatever your intent, like communication should be 90% of like your energy of making sure that what you hope to happen.
Exactly. And a lot of the times I see through company surveys, people are not happy. A lot of time is because of the communication or lack of communication or clear communication.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a great first place to start, leaders. Hey, if you're not doing surveys at some frequency, start doing those and make sure a question is always, how effectively are we communicating with you? And then, oh, by the way, communicate back the results of the survey once it comes out, because that's part of what showing respect to your team members is.
And take actions as well.
Right.
And it's worth that you do a survey, you communicate the results, but nothing comes out of it. So nothing is being done to improve.
And that's a surefire way that no one's going to ever respond to your surveys, and you're going to get and you're going to get more negative marks on culture. Well said. Well, Jing, a lot of people throw out the term these days, OBM, and I like to say, like, it's almost like a bingo card. Oh, I'm going to OBM this. Let's go OBM that. And but it's like it becomes a catch-all for anything that's not clinical. And there's such power in organizational behavior management that it just like, it makes my heart hurt knowing that it's like become this commodity word. But we know like OBM is much more specific and deeply meaningful. What does OBM mean to you?
I really love ABA and all aspects of its applications. To me, OBM is the application of ABA principles to the behaviors of people in an organization. And a company is just like an individual that engages in certain behaviors we call business activities. And the activities are performed by people in the business. So OBM is not a catch-all for all problems, but can provide a great framework for solving problems involving human behaviors and to provide a framework for impacting certain behaviors that drive certain business activities and results. So the best thing about OBM is applying our principles to create the work environment where desired behaviors that align with the company's core values and purpose can occur and can be reinforced and strengthened. And also those undesired behaviors are not going to be reinforced in those environment. So if the employees engage in certain undesired behaviors or lack of the desired behaviors, we first should take a look at what's happening in the environment by analyzing the ABCs, just like how we analyze the problem behaviors of the clients that we serve. So we should look at if if an employee is not following certain procedures. So we need to look at the antecedents. Did we make the instruction clear? Did we provide the necessary training? Did we provide the tools and resources for the employee to be successful, to engage in the desired behavior? So we should analyze what's happening in the environment and to make changes in the environment so we can bring out the best in people.
Isn't it amazing how simple it is? Just comes back to the ABCs, look at the environment first. And yet it can be easy. It may be gratifying to immediately, if you see someone doing something in your organization that you don't like, it's like place the blame on them. But I love how you describe, hey, look at the environment. And I think I heard in some of those specific questions you were asking, do they have the right tools and the training? Is the expectation set? What is it? Is it the performance diagnostic checklist in human services from Dr. Carr and others, where there's a tool that like exists to do that, which I'll link to in the show notes, right? But isn't that sort of part of analyzing the environment and using OBM effectively?
Absolutely. So OBM can be a great tool or framework to solve any problems that involves human behaviors in the organization.
Oh, so powerful. ABA practice owners, are billing and insurance issues getting you down? Well, let me tell you, Element RCM is your answer. Element provides world-class revenue cycle management services, contracting, credentialing, authorizations, billing, and more. Element's your partner, so you can focus on what you love to do, providing the highest quality services to your families and clients. Element's a preferred partner of the Behavioral Health Center of Excellence, and its founders have nearly 20 years of experience owning and operating successful ABA organizations. They understand you. They know that every dollar counts, that integrity is everything. Element works with any practice management system, and Element's not a vendor, they're your partner. So find out more and take a free revenue cycle assessment at elementrcm.ai. Well, I want to come back to, you know, as you sold your business, tell me a little, Jing, about what it was like selling it. I mean, emotionally, physically, mentally.
It was definitely a very emotional event and very personal event. I owned and operated my two companies for 19 years before selling them in 2019. And I love what I do and how our companies help so many children and families. The two companies are like my babies. I often tell people that Interventions Unlimited was my firstborn. Alpine Academy was my second, and my child is my third. And however, I was at the point in life that I needed to spend more time with my family, my husband, my son, and my elderly parents. Your families are in your life only once. So I needed to shift my focus a little bit. And my business was also at a very good place where our leadership team was managing the day-to-day activities at about 95% of the time. Wow. And they were doing an amazing job. And I was so proud of our team. And I also thought joining a larger organization could provide more growth opportunities for my employees. And also to me, owning a business was more of an event in my life, not all my entire life. Mm-hmm. And I always enjoy helping people and serving people in whatever capacity I can. And I'm very honored to be in a position that my two companies were able to make such a big difference in so many children's lives. And the two companies serve my passion for helping others. And even though I sold my business, my passion for ABA and helping others has not changed. I can still fulfill that passion through my current consulting and coaching work to empower other entrepreneurs, other BCBAs, and equip them with the tools to impact others, impact the lives they serve.
And spoken like a true servant leader. And you know what was like powerful to me to hear was that at the point at which you sold your business, you had a leadership team that you put in place that was running 95% of the day-to-day business. I mean, there's a lot of small business owners out there that are like, what can I do to get there? I'm guessing a little bit of it was the operating system you put in place, probably intentional hiring, but is there anything else that, you know, that really contributed to you feeling so confident and having that leadership team that could run 95%?
Well, absolutely hiring the right people is the first start. And taking the time to train them and to teach them and empower them to make decisions, that's important. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate to have such an amazing team. And they were just so wonderful to work with. And now I'm not involved in the business. I think one thing I miss the most is my team, and it's the people in the business, so the parents and the kids and the team that we work together. So yeah. Getting the right people on your team and right people in the right seats is extremely important.
Extremely important. What's one piece of advice, Jing, that you have for an ABA owner considering selling their practice?
It's hard to say advice that might be applicable to everyone. So to me, selling your business is a very personal decision. It depends on what stage of life you're in and your age and your future goal in life. and how keeping your business or selling your business will contribute to your overall picture in life. But if someone is planning on selling their business, my advice would be to start preparing your business for sale much early on. There are many things you may need to operate differently, and it may take a good 18 months of preparation work. Certainly, having an operating system can help your business look good in the eyes of the buyer. And I implemented the operating system and not thinking I would be selling at that time. It was really to help us grow, to have more orders in the business, and I could have my life back and have some balance in my life. And later on, it turned out to be the most helpful thing that I did before selling the business. My other advice would be definitely do your due diligence to find the right partner or buyer for your business who is going to treat your customers, clients well, and treat your employees well, and also understand and accept the fact once you sell your business, you are no longer in control of your business and you can't control its destiny.
But I love that idea. It comes back to your why, right? It's a very personal decision. You have to understand why you want to do that. And yeah, doing due diligence on organizations. You know, one of the things I love to do in interviews or as part of an interview process is go out to lunch or grab coffee with someone. Why? Because I am super attentive to how they treat people where there is no expectation of how that person should be treated. Like, you know, your server, right? Or the person at Starbucks you're ordering coffee from. To me, that's like a really powerful insight into someone's values and what's important to them. And if you can do that with interviewees, guess what? You can do it with a potential acquirer of your business.
Absolutely. And that is a great indicator to watch someone treating other people who cannot do anything for them. Mm-hmm. So that shows how it really says a lot about the character of the person, and also like how they treat their exiting employees shows a lot about the company as well, because the employees leaving, how do they treat their employees right to the very last day of their employees says a lot about a company.
So important. How are you celebrating what they've brought to the organization and their accomplishments? And leaders, remember this, like it's certainly it's for that departing employee. But guess what? You've got magnifying glass eyes on you from every other employee that's like carefully observing things. Back to your earlier point, Jing, of like, as a leader, we're under a microscope, right? And our behaviors and actions and what we say and don't say speak volumes.
Well, right. I have a lot of people asking me, oh gosh, should I sell or not sell? I always say that is a very personal choice. And nobody can really give you that advice if you should or should not.
Good point. That's a great point. Well, thinking about building successful businesses, I love that you are now paying it forward with your consulting practice and helping other ABA business owners. And you actually have an ABA business boot camp. What was the need you saw, Jing, for starting the boot camp? And what are the most important things a small business owner will take away from it?
Okay. Well, since I started my consulting practice, a lot of people had reached out to me regarding how to start their ABA business, or it could be another autism-related business or school. For new entrepreneurs, lack of funding without any revenue coming in is always a challenge. However, I wanted to make sure that the knowledge is accessible and affordable to entrepreneurs so they can feel equipped to pursue their dreams. So I thought, well, how can I solve that problem to make this affordable to people? And then I've decided to do a group coaching program because I was in a group, a peer group before implementing the operating system. And it was amazing so that the members can hold you accountable and support each other. And I thought, well, I would create this group that the entrepreneurs can be peers and support one another and learn the knowledge that they need to start their own business. The ultimate metaphor for running a business is like climbing a mountain. So you need the right equipment and the gears and the guide that shows you the way. So I was hoping with the ABA Startup Bootcamp, so the entrepreneurs will feel that they have the basic gears and the knowledge for them to start climbing their business mountain on the right path. And we will cover a lot of the key components of starting an ABA business. And we'll talk about how to create their entity, choosing a business name, getting their EINs and NPIs, as well as developing their purpose statement, their core values, and their vision statement, and a marketing plan and brand message. And as well as working with payers, I'm really excited about your partner, Ryan, will join one of our sessions to talk about working with payers. That seems to be a big challenge for a lot of the new entrepreneurs and don't know how to get in network and how to get contracted. I'm grateful that you and Ryan agreed to become a guest speaker to that, to our group, and to talk about that. We'll talk about clinical operations as well as how to build their company culture and creating a team, as well as financial management.
And these are all things that, you know, we're just generally like schools don't teach, and I don't care what like program it is. Even MBA programs aren't teaching like the basic blocking and tackling and really critical things to do to start a business. And I love your analogy, and I have to share, Jake, a number of years ago, I climbed Mount Rainier. So I love mountaineering. I love climbing, skiing. I mean, you name it. And, you know, we got on the summit day, you know, we started whatever it was, 1 or 2 a.m., and we were climbing up, we were roped up, right? We're crossing crevasses on glaciers. We're going up this disappointment cleaver rock scramble route. Is amazing. Coming back to, and then seeing the sunrise, I mean, like that's all, wow, powerful. But coming back down, like the glacier, yeah, I mean, glaciers melt, right? They're snow. They're rivers of ice, but crevasses start to open up, and our guide was able to like help us navigate around these potentially very dangerous scenarios, these hazards, so that we could optimize our experience. And I think that's exactly what I heard from the ABA Business Bootcamp. I mean, can people brute force things? Sure. Like I could have climbed Mount Rainier on my own, a little more dangerous and like harder, probably not as fun. Could someone start a business on their own? Yes, but why not learn from a guide?
Yeah, my goal is to be a guide for entrepreneurs during their mountain climbing. So their journey could be shortcutted. It could be a little easier, even though they can figure everything out on their own. But if they have someone to show them the way, that could make it easier for them so they can focus on other things in their business. So that's why I became a Pinnacle business guide, is to help people create an operating system and grow their business. Outside of my startup bootcamp, I also have clients that work with them one-to-one in growing their business. And I do have companies at various stages of their business. So the startups, as well as the ones in growth stage, that they are in the state that I was in before, that all plates were flying in the air and didn't know what else to do and fell. It was the chaos and felt stuck. And I want to help them create orders, create systems so they can be unstuck and they can focus on the bigger picture.
Mm, That's just, that's the power of having a guide, right? And someone who can bounce ideas off of and who can hold you accountable as a leader, because it can get lonely at the top.
Right. And I have some entrepreneurs telling me, well, it seems like everything is a secrecy in this field. People are not willing to share information with you. I was like, I will share with you everything I know about this industry.
Thank you, Jay. That's, you know, that's one of many things I so appreciate about you, is like your willingness to pay it forward and transparency of data and information and learning. And oh, by the way, I'm a firm believer that whatever we give out or give away, we will earn 10x in return for having done so willingly.
Absolutely.
Well, what's one thing every business owner and leader should start doing, and one thing they should stop doing?
I would say to start doing is to focus on their people. As people work in the business, it's the who that makes the what happen. And I'm quoting from Jim Collins from his book, From Good to Great. And especially nowadays with the great resignation that's happening, and people are so important. So for every business, if they're not already doing that, definitely start focusing on their people. And to stop doing, did you ask me that too?
Yes.
Okay. I lost track. I would say to stop doing would be probably, I would say stop doing things that are just distraction, that do not move their business forward, that are just busy distraction for them.
Sage advice. Beware the shiny objects that might seem kind of interesting, and maybe they are, but aren't going to contribute to the core mission.
Right.
Well, Jake, throw one question at me, like any question, and make me answer on the spot.
Okay, I'm very interested in leadership, and I would say, what do you consider as the most important aspect of leadership?
Caring. I think, I mean, there's so many great frameworks for leadership from, I mean, I love Dr. Arbe Daniels' Measure of a Leader, and there's all kinds of tools and techniques he describes. Jim Collins, Good to Great, like, talking about level five leadership and servant leaders, serving your teams. And all of those are critical. But I think a leader who cares genuinely about their team. And when I say cares, yes, I mean cares about their career pathing, their professional development, coaching and mentoring them and the skills, but also just cares about them as a human being. And if there are things going on outside of work, you know, giving the grace or like showing, you know, little things that you understand a milestone in life is important, or a struggle they have going on at home is important. Just caring is what creates, in my mind, the most authentic relationships.
I love that. I really love that. I totally agree with caring all aspect about an employee as a human being, because people are not perfect. If you hire someone for their skills, for whatever they bring to your organization, you're also hiring for the problems they could be bringing, right? Mm-hmm. So because we're not perfect, so showing grace is important. I love what you said, that caring, the empathy.
There's a great exercise that I get in Dr. LeBlanc's and Dr. Sellers' supervision book. It's called the Mentor Tree. And you know, it's just an exercise in like filling out who are your mentors in life and reflecting on that. That's so important, because I think back on like my 20 plus year career, and how many people like invested so much time in me to help me learn, and all the like literally millions of mistakes I made, people gave me the grace. That's the least I can do to pay it forward and help those around.
Thank you for answering that.
Well, Jing, where can people find you in Core Action Consulting online?
They can go to my website, coreactionconsult.com. Or they can connect me on LinkedIn by typing in my name, J-I-N-G-Z-H-O-U. And I'm also in multiple Facebook groups. They can always private message me if they have a question.
Outstanding. All right. Well, are you ready for our hot take rapid fire questions, Jing?
Okay, let's go with that.
All right, you're on your deathbed. What's the one thing you want to be remembered for?
Gosh, I want to be remembered for that I've changed someone's lives for the better.
What's your most important self-care practice?
I like spending time outside in the nature, such as taking a walk by a lake or in a park or just reading a book outside on my patio.
Ah, therapeutic. Yes.
All right.
Well, if you could cancel all meetings and skip all your responsibilities for a day, how would you spend the day?
I would probably go hiking or kayaking. I would be just as happy reading a book by the pool. It doesn't really take a lot for me to be happy or get satisfied. I could be satisfied with simple little things.
Right.
I don't need to have something really fancy and grand to make a great day. So if I know business meetings or anything.
Oh, that's a gift. What's your favorite song ever?
Well, I can't say I have a favorite song ever. So there are songs that I like. They stay on my like list. And then there are new songs that will join that like list. I would say maybe the last few years, sometimes I like a song. Well, it's the song Happy. It's from the kids' movie, Minion. It just makes you in such a good mood. It makes you feel so happy. So sometimes if I'm stressed, it's like, I should listen to that song. I will be in a better mood.
Oh, I love it. The Minions, amazing movie. That song is amazing. Weird Al Yankovic does a cover of it called Tacky that I absolutely, my kids and I adore and sing along to. It's so good. Well, if there's one place in the world, Jing, that's on or that you think should be on everyone's bucket list, what is it?
I guess I have trouble pinpointing to one place. My husband and I both love to travel, and there are many places on our bucket list that we want to visit. And there are some great places that we have visited. I would say some of the places that I really enjoyed, I don't know if that's going to be on everybody's bucket list. For example, I like Italy, where it's so rich in history and art. And I also loved our trip to Alaska, so where we would see some untouched nature and wildlife.
They're big, beautiful places in this big, beautiful world of ours. Well said.
Right. And there are so many other places that we haven't gone to. So hopefully we'll eventually get there at some point.
Well, if you could only wear one style of footwear for the rest of your life, which would it be?
That's an easy question. I'd be wearing sandals.
Nice. Oh, the freeing nature of sandals. I love it.
Unfortunately, I'm in Florida. So most of the year we could wear sandals. And now I do most of the work at home through Zoom. I could be wearing sandals at home all day.
Which puts you, coming back to your happy place. Beautiful.
That's right.
Jing, this has been such a pleasure. Thank you for taking time.
Thank you so much. And I enjoyed being in the show. I hope I did good and not disappointing your audience.
You were amazing. Thanks, Jing.
Thanks for listening to Building Better Businesses in ABA podcast. Stay tuned for our next exciting episode. In the meantime, please like, subscribe, share, and comment. We value your feedback. Don't forget to follow us on social media at elementrcm.ai.